On Thanksgiving night, a massive fire broke out inside a historic church in downtown Buford, Georgia. Firefighters were called to the scene. They attempted to go inside the building to fight the fire, but the fire was too intense and they were pushed back. Then portions of the building began to collapse. Even the iconic steeple was lost. The home of First Pentecostal Church of Buford was destroyed, but the congregation is persevering. We are blessed today to be joined by the pastor of First Pentecostal Church of Buford, Pastor Jordan Copeland. Pastor Copeland, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time. I can imagine that after the recent events that your schedule is very intense, so it's very generous of you to take time to be with us. Before we get into details about what happened Thanksgiving night, can you give us a little bit of history about your church for those who may not be familiar?
Absolutely. And first of all, thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Our church was founded in 1990 by Pastor Brett Cooley. He was there for 3 years, and then in 93, he called my parents. My parents came off the field. I was 3 years old, and we started there in a small building on Main Street. And so this church in downtown Buford is all I've ever known from my very earliest memories. And we were not there long. It was only 5 years, and Dad had his eye on this building downtown. And just an incredible story of miracles, how that all happened. The building was so far beyond the capability and reach of that congregation at that time. But my dad just kept every day driving around this building and praying and believing that God was going to give it to him. And pretty well every advisor in his life, his counselors all thought, you know, he just needed to wait. And it was probably a bit much and a bit too soon. But God ended up agreeing with him, and God gave us that building. And it was just, it was an amazing thing.
And how long have you been there then in that building?
So from 1998 until present day.
And your father was the pastor?
He was for almost 30 years.
Wow. And then how long have you been pastoring it?
So May would make 5 years. It's okay. Been an interesting 5 years between COVID and this. And
oh.
It's been a...
Yeah, you've had kind of trial by fire all along.
Absolutely, from the beginning. And then, you know, my father had a health situation that when we first stepped in, we were not sure what it was. You know, we knew it was some form of cognitive disease. It turned out to be frontotemporal dementia. And so that was a very extended and painful process for the church as we went on. But so that's also been a part of the last 5 years. And then we eventually lost my father last year in May. So the church still somewhat reeling from that. And so it's been a deal.
So it's had to undergo, this congregation, you and the congregation, a lot of transitions under your pastorship for the past 5 years.
It's felt like constant transition. People have been amazing.
I can imagine. So tell me, with whatever you're comfortable with, the details of what happened on Thanksgiving night.
So first, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And just to... great time. We have Thanksgiving at the house, and then we go to the church and have a Thanksgiving time there. And so we had been to the house, and we'd gone to the church and just spent some time up there. I had left and gone to visit one of our saints in the hospital, and then had gone to play pickleball after that late at night. And I got a call right around 10 o'clock that said, "You need to come back. The church is on fire," from my wife. Well, when she said that, I thought, you know, okay, you know, the church is on fire. It's almost 50,000 square feet. So I'm thinking, you know, what wing is it? What area is it? You know, we'll have to figure it out. I pulled up and there was smoke billowing out of the back corner of the front building. And it was a lot of smoke. Thankfully, when I got there, the building was clear. And that's one of the greatest miracles that I'll tell about later on in the interview. But we had three young men who were passing by, saw the smoke, ran into the building, tried to stop the fire. They grabbed extinguishers, got up in the attic, and there was no hope by that point of them stopping it. So they got out, and less than 90 seconds later, that roof caved in. So could have been a much different story. So I thank God for his mercy there and that they got out in time. But so when I pulled up, they had just exited the building. So the building was empty. There was smoke billowing out of the attic. And Gwinnett Fire Department was on the scene. So I'm looking and I'm like, that's a lot of smoke. But very confident, you know, that they were about to get it in hand and get the fire out. I was already just processing in my mind of, you know, it was over our youth room that we also use for a Spanish Sunday school and things like that, and thinking, well, we're going to have to, you know, mitigate the effects in that room and remodel that room, rebuild it. It'll be okay. And in a span of about 120 seconds, it went from me feeling like everything was okay to it being clear that 30 fire trucks were not going to put out this fire. It was unbelievable to see. And there's video of just it swept through that top attic and just completely engulfed the building. I didn't know a building could really burn like that in real life. At one point, it was 40 feet off the top of the roof, just an inferno. And so people, you know, downtown Buford's a very active place, lots of restaurants and things like that. So there were a few hundred people out there that stayed for a few hours as it just became completely engulfed.
And do the authorities have any ideas yet? I read that they think probably at this point that it was an electrical issue because of the age of the building.
Right. That was all they ever told us. They sent in an investigator and they looked at it. And there was also, when it first started, I guess they saw some blue and green flames coming out of the side of it at some point. And so they never really narrowed it down more than that. They just said electrical in the attic.
Now you shared a couple pictures with me, one of a Bible and one of your office. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Yeah, so my office did not fare very well, but thankfully we were able to recover some Bibles, which is a miracle. And there are so many stories of Bibles surviving fires. And so I had a giant display case that was right beside where my Bibles were. And when we stepped into the office after the fire, that case was just disintegrated like it was never there, but there was still a stack of Bibles. Every other book I had was gone. The floor of my office was just charred pages of books. The entire floor of the entire office were the books had just fallen apart. The pages, whatever had not burned, had fallen to the floor. The only books left in my office were my Bibles.
And they're singed, but not damaged, but not destroyed.
Well, some, a little of both.
Okay. So,
they were in a stack, and so some Bibles fared better than others.
Okay.
My father's Bible was there, and it was pretty, it pretty burnt. It was in a leather case, and so that one, I'll never be able to read again. But I do have, I am thankful that I have the Bible. So I'm trying to figure out how to preserve that and got a few ideas on that. A few of them were beyond repair. But my most special Bibles I found were there. One of which, and I'm sure you can show the picture, in the podcast, but I received a Platinum Premier Study Bible from Bishop Wilson at Momentum Conference just a few weeks ago that he had written a full page and a half of notes there at the front, and just a very special Bible. And so that was singed at the edges, but it's still readable and I still have it. So very, very thankful for that.
Yes, I think part of the shock of the incident was thinking we had just seen you and been blessed by you ministering here locally at the Rock Church at the Momentum Conference, and did an amazing, provided an amazing sermon, very anointed. And so not only was obviously the fire would be tragic under any circumstances, but it seemed unbelievable having just recently had you here with us.
I did want to know why you didn't tell me this was coming, that conference warned me. It was such a blessing to be able to be with y'all. And yeah, I've looked back over a number of recent trips, and just even things that I've preached recently, and thought, man, if only I'd known. A number of times I was really just preaching to myself. Perhaps explains the response.
It's interesting. Your sermon at Momentum was a place prepared for you, which was the theme of the conference. But you were really talking about the difference between heaven or hell. And in hell, there's no more mercy available. And it's such a contrast to even here, we face the fire, but there's still mercy. There's still grace. God's presence is still available to help us. And I know we'll kind of get into that more, but I really felt like, unbeknownst to you, the topic of your sermon was, it was just powerful knowing what you were going to be facing just a week later.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of levels to that. One obvious one was, as it was burning, of course, I mean, any Bible reader, a fire is going to evoke thoughts of hell. Mm-hmm. And to see it burning that hot, and to see the remnants of the building still there, the thought of a fire that consumes the elements themselves is beyond comprehension. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It made me make up my mind more than ever. I want to make sure that I'm saved. And
yes. Amen. Tell me about your congregation. What are they doing presently in order to be able to hold services?
So they have been amazing. First of all, just very, very mobilized. We're currently having services at First Methodist Church in downtown Buford. I was blown away later in the night as the building, you know, the building burned throughout the night. And so by, you know, 3 a.m., somewhere around there, it's clear, you know, the direction is set. We know the building is a total loss. And so I had started thinking, where in the world are we going to have church? What are we going to do? And so, you know, that's very complicated logistically. I mean, codes and insurance and zoning and all of that. And so that night I was tossing and turning, just thinking about the fire itself. But the one thing that I knew I had to answer right away was, where are we going to have church? You know, I can't build a building overnight, but I have to find a place to have church. So it was, you know, early Friday morning, and we need to have church Sunday. And so the next day we had over a dozen offers from local churches, local places, asking us to come have church. And that has so impacted me. I love our city. We've got a wonderful city. People have been so kind, different. There was a business owner that owns a lot of property downtown, and he came up while the building was still burning and just put a key in my hand. He said, "That's one of my buildings on Main Street. You go use it for whatever you want." In the time since, we found two different buildings where we've already had, three different buildings where we've already had services at. We're having prayer and quiz practice in another building. And then we've got our school in another building. So God really has just opened doors. That was a logistical nightmare, trying to think of where we would host the different activities that we have. But God just opened doors and he used great people to do it.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think in one of the interviews you've had with News, is that over 10 pastors have approached you to be of assistance in any way that they can, which is an amazing outpouring of community support.
Yes, and that was just local. There have been others even up to an hour away that understood logistically it probably wouldn't work, but still offered. And there have been there's a business tomorrow that asked if I would come look at their facility, see if we could use it for anything at all. So that part has just been incredible, and just the hand of God, the favor of God. And I'm thankful for that.
Yes, that's amazing. So how has your congregation been handling this situation, this trial, in a sense?
They really have been incredible. God's blessed us. I have no complaints about our church. It's some of the best people in the world. And they've been so supportive, and everyone's hurting. You know, my dad meant so much to everyone. And so we had, I really lean heavily into my father's legacy. It's something I don't run from, but I lean into it. And I talk about him often and his leadership and the things he put into the church. And so, you know, it's a hard thing to preach my last message behind his pulpit. You know, I've been in his office for the last time, seen, you know, read a lot of his books for the last time. So that was sinking in. We had set up what we called his legacy office, and my mom had worked so hard on that, of everything precious to us that reminded us of him, we had brought to the church and put in that office. And so I am thankful that some of those things survived, were mangled, but they survived. Something like his trumpet is, I mean, it's wreckage, but it's still his trumpet and we still have it. So I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. But that was a hard thing for all of us to see. My mom's been very, very strong through it, and the church has been strong through it, but it's just so many memories, you know, decades of memories and of sacrifice and remodel projects and services. Mm-hmm. And so everyone is working really hard to just push forward despite what we're all feeling. But at some point, truthfully, we'll have to step back and process it. We've been so active since it happened. It's possible we have not, we've not fully processed it. I know I haven't. But I know God's going to help us. The church has been just anything they can do. They've been there for work days, done an incredible amount of work and labor already. They've kept a good spirit, and just there's an atmosphere of positivity for sure. I mean, in our prayer and in our worship, people are not sitting around, you know, blaming God, upset at God. You know, we know that God's working in this, and it's hard, but there's an outlook of faith and of forward momentum for sure.
I saw some footage in which you were encouraging your saints while the fire was being put out. So I think you were standing in front of the church or across the street from the church and giving words of encouragement.
We sure ain't gonna get mad at God, and we're not even gonna get worried. It hurts. We got a lot of memories and a lot of precious things in that building. We're not going to get upset at God about it. Let's pray, and we're going to give thanks to God as we pray. Okay. God, in the name of Jesus. God's been good to every one of us.
Yes.
I'd rather 10 buildings burn than one of our people get hurt. We have 3 of our young men in there. God's got everything in control.
Yes, he does.
I love y'all.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be all right.
What kinds of things have you been telling your congregation to support them and encourage them through this difficult time?
Well, in that moment, I had recently taught, you know, obviously it was Thanksgiving evening, and I had taught a small group the week before just about what I call the first Thanksgiving dinner, where Paul is on the ship, that they're afraid he's going to be shipwrecked. They've been 14 nights without a break, and they seem to be at their lowest moment. They hear the waves crashing on the rocks. They're sure they're about to be shipwrecked and go under. And they take the time to gather on the deck of that ship and to offer God thanks. And they have a time, a meal together, and give thanks to God while the storm is going on. And so I really felt in that moment it was important. You know, we're very good at looking back later in retrospect after God's showed his hand and saying, oh, now, you know, now we see and now we're thankful. But we're working really hard right now while we're in the storm to be thankful and to recognize and just to really trust God. I'm not demanding that God give me answers. You know, that never really worked out well for me in the past anyway. But I'm just skipping that whole thing right now and just praying for God to give us strength to walk and to truly trust him.
I had a chance to listen to your first sermon following the tragic situation. And I just want to mention a few notes that were so powerful from it. You talked about the three Hebrew men in the fire and how they said God can deliver us, but if not. So regardless of whether God delivers from the fire or not, they were not going to bow. They wouldn't be broken by it. And that one, as of the Son of Man, was Son of God, was already in the fire with them. So he was already prepared to take care of them in the fire. And then you also said the fire of the Holy Ghost in us is greater than the fire around us. Do you want to add anything to those? I thought those were very powerful ideas, thoughts.
Yeah, so I did want to mention, and I forgot to mention it that day, but the majority of that sermon came from paper notes that were in my office that survived the fire. And so I was preaching and the edges of those papers are charred by the fire. I really did pray and make an effort. I don't want to survive on cliches, and I don't want to just throw out a bunch of positivity that's not backed by a true belief. And so I prayed that God would help me to only say things that are a true expression of my heart. And he did help me do that. And that is how I feel. And I feel that God is showing us his hand. This has been somewhat the theme of, and somewhat of an obvious theme, I think, in the wake of tragedy, but of looking for the hand of God, trusting the hand of God. But for me, what is different in this is I asked the church in our first midweek service after to come and pray, and I preached about perfect peace. And that perfect peace is not a prayer for instant deliverance. And that is not the prayer that I'm praying. I'm not praying, God, come in and just get us out of this right away, whatever you have to do. My prayer has been, Lord, whatever you hope to accomplish through this process, no matter how long you have to let the process go on, we want to see the highest level of his plan fulfilled. And I think the scripture that spoke to me on that was when the disciples are on the ship at sea, and seems they're about to go down. Jesus is sleeping in the hold of the ship. They go, they wake him up, and that's the moment we focus on. You know, they wake him up, he speaks, you know, peace be still, the storm is over. But the thing that I think we skip over so often is where he really is upset with them. For their lack of faith. And to me, that reveals there was a higher level of that moment available to them. But because they woke him up to bail them out right that moment, that plan was never fully revealed. We don't know what it was. It seems obvious that some level of that would have been that they just keep trusting him through the storm. And so we are not praying for instant deliverance. We're praying, God, help us to trust you. Help us to believe that in all of this you're working. And I want to be patient as a Christian, as a pastor, as, you know, as a father. I want to be patient in this whole situation to make sure that I don't miss anything that God wants to do. So if we have to endure, you know, a long standing, you know, if we have to walk a tough road, but it ends in great revival and great growth, that's a road we're willing to walk.
Mm-hmm. And you've already mentioned several ways in which God has been with you, helping you and the congregation through this time. And one was, for example, everybody being able to escape the building safely before the roof collapsed, and some of your Bibles being able to be salvaged. Are there any other examples you want to share of God moments throughout this ordeal?
I'd say one of the big ones was what you just mentioned. You know, our midweek service is on Thursday every week. And so the one Thursday of the entire year when we would not be in that building was Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Typically at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, we've still got 35 to 40 people hanging out in the building, and they're scattered all throughout the building. Our building is it's multi-level. It was built in 5 different stages. It's a labyrinth, or it was, and it could have been disastrous and likely would have been disastrous had there been people in the building. It also would have added a huge element of danger for the firefighters. They'd had to run through repeatedly making sweeps of the building to see if they could find anyone. Because it started in the attic, you know, it was already very, very dangerous before perhaps they would have even known anything was happening. Mm-hmm. So that is the number one thing I just want to give thanks to God for is protecting us, protecting the people. Those 3 young men that went in, that they were not hurt. And I thank God for that.
And the first responders, by them not having to look for people, it potentially saved their lives as well.
Absolutely. And we were able to tell them we were positive the building was clear. So that was a big thing. So thank God for that. Yes. And in the wake of that, we've seen many other, personal miracles in people's life and their health and their finances. Just this morning, I didn't ask for liberty to share this one, so I can't give the details, but an amazing miracle for one of our young couples that has just been really in distress about a situation, and God just worked it out today. And so it's been amazing to see, you know, God takes, but he gives a whole lot more than he takes.
Yes.
And so God has given us great grace through all this.
And it's, we know that people around this country and around the world are holding up your congregation, you and your congregation in prayer, which is most important. So we ask anybody who's listening or watching this episode to please continue to lift up this church and this congregation in your prayers. But is there anything else in addition to prayer that would be helpful for your congregation?
So first, of course, that's the biggest thing. We've been so strengthened. I mean, I can't imagine how people get through tragedy without the body of Christ. I can't imagine facing this without the church. And pastors have reached out, just a lot of people praying for us, different churches praying and fasting, giving, sending. It's been amazing. We're still somewhat unsure of the exact details of our road to recovery on this. We're working with the insurance company now, but if they give us the all clear to start putting things back together, you see, we had, it was 2 buildings connected by a breezeway, and the front building was a total loss. The back building, we hope, is salvageable, and we've been behaving as though it is. I'm working in it and clearing everything out. So if they give us the all clear to rebuild that building, we'll need as many workers, of course, with their pastor's permission, but we could use any help we could get.
That's awesome. That's good to know. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to share regarding this situation that you would want to communicate about it?
Yes, I thank God for trusting us with trouble. It is not what I would have ever chosen. I don't want to seem as though it is, but I do believe God looked at it and God chose to trust us with it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be faithful to him through this, no matter what it means, what it takes, how long it takes. We're not going to put any restraints on God's hands. We're not going to try to get God to operate according to our timing. I'm going to do what I can do, which is not a whole lot, and believe him to do the rest. He really does. You know, the moment we've exhausted our strength is where the supernatural comes into play. And so we're believing that God's going to do incredible things through this. And at the end, we'll be better, we'll be stronger, we'll be larger, and we'll have a more stable walk with him and trust in him.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been very generous of you. Again, with everything going on, I can imagine your schedule is very intense, and you and your congregation will continue to be in our prayers. And please keep us posted if there are other things we can do to assist. But in Jesus' name, we believe you will grow back bigger and stronger than ever.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you all for praying for us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time very much.
Yes, ma'am. God bless.
Take care. God bless you. Thank you. We were so blessed today to be joined by Pastor Jordan Copeland so he could provide us with an update on what's happening with his church following this tragic situation. Please continue to keep the congregation in your prayers.